Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
So much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. I am Betsy McLaughlin, your host, and today's guest, I'm really pleased to be able to say welcome to Miss Marnie Barranco. So welcome, Marnie.
Thank you, Betsy. I'm really excited to be here too. Been looking forward to this.
Me too. So Marnie, I absolutely adore. I'm not even sure how long I've known her, a few years, and I got to meet her through the Tools of Access Consciousness, which I talk about all the time on this show, and she's an amazing woman. She really is, and I freaking adore her, which you guys will figure out pretty quickly here. So Marnie is an inspirational speaker. She's a writer. She's an empowerment coach, and she's also a facilitator like I am. And she has over 15 years of experience in director and vice president level positions across a variety of industries. From business to relationship to parenting and more, she facilitates classes and private sessions using the pragmatic tools of access to empower people to create the life that they deserve. And I know also that Marnie's a mom, and she's a powerhouse. So I'm super excited that you took time, and she's traveling early tomorrow morning, and you know, she still said yes to coming on the show. And we were recently in a class in Houston together, and it just popped for me, and then went over to her and I was like, hey, what if we did a subject on vulnerability? So that is going to be what we talk about today. And what if vulnerability is actually a key to freedom? And it's kind of like, what? Isn't that like, you're not supposed to be vulnerable? That's certainly how I grew up. Like, you didn't, or you just weren't vulnerable, or that made you weak or a target. So we're going to talk and explore all about vulnerability and see, like, what if it is actually a gift and it unlocks the door to what you desire. So are you guys willing to explore today the power of vulnerability and what it could be for you and what true vulnerability is? So without further ado, welcome to Imperfect Brilliance, Miss Marnie Barranco.
Thank you, Miss Betsy McLaughlin. I'm so excited. I love everything you just said. I'm chomping at the bit to talk more about this.
For sure. So vulnerability, what was it like when you were growing up? Like, what was your thought about what vulnerability was?
Well, pretty much what you said in the beginning, that it was a bad thing. That it sort of meant you were defenseless, you were an open target. If you were vulnerable, then you were going to get trampled on, you were going to get hurt a lot, and you would just have to take the brunt of everybody's stuff. And I would say that in the household I grew up in, it was very clear early on that whatever was required, I would have to find a way to get it myself, because there wasn't a lot on offer. There wasn't a lot of emotional availability or anything else. And so I very early on realized whatever it is that I would like to have or need to have, I'm going to have to find a way to get it. And with that came, I would say there was a strength and an independence, but it also crossed over into being very guarded and very walled up and very much the opposite of vulnerable as a self-preservation and a self-protection kind of thing. And so, yeah. So vulnerability became a very twisted thing that was the bad thing, which was the thing where you weren't going to actually survive if you chose it. And so creating an image, creating a facade, a whatever to present to the world that said, there is no weakness here. There is no weakness here. Yes, which is not a very fun way to live, I have to say. It's exhausting, and it doesn't actually work either.
Wow. There is so much, there were so many pearls in just what you said there. And I too had a very similar upbringing and realization early on that I could not reveal a weakness. Because if I did, it really would bite me in the butt. And then I felt like I was left defenseless, just what you described. And I wonder if, you know, if any of that was actually what was going on, you know, because a lot of this was as I was very young. And so we have these beliefs, right? So we grow up, we think we're not supposed to be vulnerable. We have to always have a shield up. We always have to protect ourselves. And then we get to where we are in our lives now, and we realize that vulnerability is completely different than what we grew up thinking it was.
Yes. And I would say, so for me, I misidentified that wall, that barrier, that don't show anybody your weakness. I misidentified that as actually being strength, but it's not actually strength. It's self-preservation and not strength. And when, and it's trading the knowing that we actually are extremely potent and powerful and creators of magnitude. But when you're constantly getting the message that you're not, or when that is a threat to the people around you, so you turn it down and you tone it down and you turn you down and you shrink and you get small, then you buy the lie that you're not potent and powerful, which is a lie because you actually are. So then you trade that in for this fake persona of strength and, you know, resilience and fight. But there's a lie underneath it, and the lie is that you're not actually claiming, owning, acknowledging the potency of you. And the moment you claim, own, acknowledge that, even if you've given it up for years and years and years, if you go back and you go, you know what? I was actually one potent little powerhouse. I actually was a creator of magnitude. Actually, they just did not know what to do with me, so they dynamically tried to turn me down. But somewhere, I aligned and agreed and bought their point of view, and I gave up me. But you know what? It's like the moment we get that, look at it, be with it, we can choose something else, and we can choose the potency of us again. We can choose to have all of us again. And in that space, that's where vulnerability is actually such a gift. And it's the lowering of the defenses. It's the lowering of the walls. It's the, I don't have to prove anything to anyone because I already know. And whether you see it or get it ever doesn't even matter, because I know the power and potency of me. I know, I loved your introduction of your show, the brilliance of me. I know the gift of me, and I'm going to claim it and I'm going to be it. Mm. And from that space, I can be totally walled down. I can be totally nothing to prove. I can be with you with no image to present. I don't need you to see me in a certain way. I can literally just show up and say, hi, I'm here.
Mm. Absolutely beautiful.
Way different space.
Thank you.
And what a different space, hey? Yeah.
Totally different space. And, you know, when you go through your life thinking that you have to have all of these barriers and walls, and you spend all of your time building these barriers, and then it's like, so for anybody listening, so I'm tapping into a lot of the energies of people listening to this call going, well, then what do I do now? Like, how do I get rid of these barriers and these walls that I have worked so hard and have perfected so well?
Which is a great question. And that, you know, the first thing that I would say, everything that we put in place to get to where we are today, we did that because we're actually quite brilliant. We did that because we found a way to navigate whatever was up in our world, whatever kind of family you grew up in, whatever the dynamics of your life have been. You put in place, using the tools you had, the information you had, the things that you currently at the time were aware of, you used it all to create and navigate the best of your ability. So the first thing is, you're not wrong and you've never been wrong. And that's the first thing to acknowledge. Yeah. So no matter if you go, man, I'm the most guarded person in the whole world. I don't let anybody in. I keep everyone at a distance. Cool. Would you acknowledge the brilliance and the gift and the capacities of you to choose what you needed to choose to get where you are today? Yeah. That's called, that's called capacity, not wrongness. So acknowledge that. And then actually find the gratitude for you. And then go, and there's more available, and I'd like to choose the more. Mm-hmm. So even if I don't know how in this moment, I know that I'm making the choice to choose the more, and I'm just going to ask for that more to keep showing up. I'm going to ask for the courage to wake up in the morning and choose to drop the barriers and drop the walls and to be present with myself, and know that sometimes I'm going to hit the target and sometimes I'm going to miss it royally. But I'm not going to judge me. The commitment is to just keep saying yes. Just keep choosing gratitude for me. Just keep saying yes. Just keep taking the next step. And it's that commitment to you, to your life, and that continuous choice where things start to shift and change and the walls start to fall. And you get to rediscover you with all the layers removed, the actual you.
Yes, absolutely. You really do rediscover you. And in like everywhere that you've hidden yourself, as these barriers and walls come down for yourself, as well as to the entire world and everything that you've put out there, it's actually such a gift. And that self-discovery and it's like, oh, right, here I am. And you actually never were gone. But we can be so good at thinking that it's disappeared. When in actuality, you know, all of you is there all the time. And we can be experts at hiding pieces of us that we have decided somewhere along the line we couldn't show to anybody. And I loved that piece that you put in there, like you were never, ever been wrong. And that is so true, because we spend so much time berating ourselves, making ourselves wrong, making ourselves small, you know, however we do it. And that it really, truly, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. And when you start acknowledging you and everything about you, the stuff that you have decided is the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. And you can acknowledge it all and embrace all of it. And you don't have to push any of it away from you or aside from you or behind you. And to me, that is such a part of this vulnerability and being able to embrace a part of you that you may have decided was then or ugly or whatever it is that you've decided, and to have that vulnerability with you and it is so, for me, it's been so nurturing to actually do that. And even just talking about it gets me a little bit choked up, because I was really good at kind of hiding all of these things that I had decided was wrong and bad about me.
Yes, it is. I love everything you're saying, because it is such a part of vulnerability. Because how much are we told not to shine too bright, not to be too much, not to be too brilliant? And so how much do we go around scrutinizing ourselves and always focusing on where we messed up or decided we messed up? where mm-hmm. we're wrong or imperfect. And we're actually taught by a lot of people and things around us that that's the valuable product. Don't, you know, focus on your weakness and all the things where you're terrible and you don't quite measure up and you're not quite doing it right. Mm-hmm. And so and it's reinforced and reinforced and reinforced, you know, get off your high horse, little miss high and mighty. That's what I was often told. Apparently I was good at being on the high horse. but so we start to try to be same as everyone else, try to be normal, whatever or what, and then we have this walk around with this sense of what is wrong with me. And so how much vulnerability is actually required to look ourselves in the mirror and go, oh, I'm not wrong. What if I've never been wrong? What if every choice I've ever made, even the ones that everybody else, including myself, would look and say, well, that was stupid, or look what that caused. That was an awful choice. What were you thinking? Mm-hmm. What if none of the choices we've ever made were wrong? What if they were just a choice? And actually within that choice was a gift to something greater?
Yes. I love that question. And when I started asking that type of question and got myself out of constantly making myself wrong, it was so, it truly for me was freedom. And it's like, oh, I don't have to beat myself up all the time. I don't have to constantly berate myself and put myself down. And so it was, again, a gift and freedom and the ability when you're not always in that space that you actually can start choosing something far greater. And something that is also way, way, way more of a kindness to you as well as everyone else around you.
Totally. Yeah, and I love what you just said because it does start with us. Vulnerability starts with how we are with us.
What a great place to take our first pause here. We're talking about vulnerability today with Marnie Barranco. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned for more Nuggets.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Vulnerability is our subject today, and wow, we've already dove in kind of deep, Miss Marnie.
No, we just kind of leaped off into the deep end, as we do.
We really did.
And I'm so grateful for this conversation today. For me, I know we talked about it a lot, and it's still unraveling for me. Like, there's so many layers to it, and I'm wondering how much more vulnerable I actually could allow myself to be than I've ever been before. And in that, what else could show up? So if I'm lowering all of my resistance to what I might perceive that I'm supposed to be doing, and I actually allowed people to truly see me, I wonder in that, what would be created? So what pearls do you have to add to that question that I had?
Well, it's an awesome question, and I would say ask that question, because there is always more. There's always more. There's always more we can choose. And I would say the thing that pops up for me with the vulnerability, and as we ended, you know, the last segment was about starting with the vulnerability with yourself.
Yeah.
So often we talk about concepts like vulnerable, and we get this idea of what that means we're supposed to be with everyone else. But what if you just started with you? Like, okay, if I was going to be vulnerable with me today, what would I choose? What would I change? What would I create? I was going to be vulnerable with me today without any definition or conclusion what that looks like. What do I know about that? And I know for me, in asking that question, a lot of times the things that pop up are, you know, the things that we want to hide in the corner, because they're the things that we judge ourselves for the most, that we're pretty certain if anybody knows this horrible, awful thing I did, then I would be, you know, the worst person on the face of the world. So we hide it. But how much energy do we use hiding those things, even from ourselves, rather than, you know, like taking the rug off and pulling out all the dust we've shoved under it and the cobwebs and the spiders and the whatever else is in there. And instead of, right, instead of deciding
you're looking
all
under
of
my
this,
bed.
Right, all this stuff, yeah, the dust, my tail, all the things. instead of deciding that these are the most awful, horrible things about me, what if you just like uncovered it from yourself? Not even to like, I must expose to the world. No, you don't have to do anything, but would you look at it for yourself? And would you ask, what's right about all of this that I'm not getting? And if I wasn't judging myself for all of these things, what would I actually know? What gift, what key to freedom, what contribution have I been hiding from myself by trying to avoid or push all these things away from me? It's like, what are the greatest, scariest things that you don't ever want to look at? And what if you could look at it and not from a place of judgment? So it's like going back to that thing of the first really important step is to actually go, what if I was never wrong? What if I'm not wrong, never been wrong? And from that space, all these things that I decided were bad and awful and vicious and mean and horrible about me, what if I could be with it without judgment? What would shift and change?
Yep.
And how much more energy would be available to actually create my life, because I'm not spending it trying to hide the things I've decided are horrible?
It's so true. And I know I love when I'm seeing someone being themselves, being their total, genuine, barriers lower, here I am, self. And to me, that is such an invitation. And so when I find myself not in that space, one of the things that I'll just do is say, you know, can you lower your barriers right now and instantly do it. It's not like you have to go, you know, stand outside and face 10 degrees north and then put your left foot up and wait for it to be high overhead, you know, like, You can do it wherever you are, whenever. You could do it when you're falling asleep, when you're in the shower, whatever. You know, are my barriers up, and just lower them? And how many more can I lower? And lower them some more. And then when you think you've got them all lowered, this is one thing that I'll say to myself, is like, okay, now let's lower the barriers that you're trying to hide from yourself.
Great question. Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys.
Darn it.
The sneaky ones, yeah.
And
that's awesome, Betsy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even just talking about it, I can feel myself melting a little bit. So what were you going to say?
Well, just that is that if anybody's going, yeah, but how? It's not this big, complex, difficult thing that you have to spend all this time meditating and wondering and trying and practicing and learning. It is a choice. It is a choice. And what Betsy just said, I'm just going to drop my barriers right now. I'm going to drop my walls and I'm going to ask for more. That's all it takes. Just the choice.
Yes, it really is. And so what could you choose today, right here, right now, while you guys are listening to this, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what you're doing, you could be at work, you could be driving, you could be listening in your sleep, who knows, right? What could you choose right now that actually would be an invitation and a gift for you to be more of you, to choose more of you? And so I wonder what that is for you, because it's going to be different for all of us. And it's different. It's something that I've decided I have a barrier up today about. Could be something completely different tomorrow. So it's not, this is definitely not, it's going to be the same for everybody kind of thing.
Yes, and in the title of the show, we said, you know, vulnerability, a key to freedom. And the thing, when we put up our walls and barriers, no matter how great of the reasons we have put them in place, we think we're keeping out all the things we don't desire, but the reality is we're keeping out everything. And there's so many things all around us every single day that would love to contribute to us. There's so many things around us every single day that we could just receive and have gratitude for. But when we are living in a state of defensive, or living in a state of constant fight, or living in a state of I must protect and preserve, or whatever those things we've decided, we're actually stopping so many amazing things from coming into our lives. And when we ask to lower those walls and barriers and we make that choice instantly, we just increased our ability to receive all the gifts that are around us in a greater degree than before.
Oh gosh, that's so, so beautifully said. And really, when you stop resisting and fighting it all and having all of your barriers and borders up, and, you know, I've joked before, like I feel at one point in my life, like I had probably, you know, 100 concrete walls, and then in between the concrete walls I had those, you know, those big huge steel walls, and you know, it's like wall after wall after wall. And did it stop me from getting hurt? Did it stop me from making mistakes? Not really.
It's funny you say that. I used to say barbed wire with electricity running through it. I had a whole concoction of the wall. There was nobody getting in, so I get it, and it's funny. And you're right, it doesn't actually keep it out. And what it reminds me of, so, is when you have, like, say the ocean is full of big crashy waves and you throw a rock in it, you don't necessarily see where the rock actually landed because there's too many crashing waves going on. But take that in contrast to the ocean being calm and quiet, or a pond, or you know, water that's very, very still. And then when a rock gets thrown into the water, oh, you see the rock and you see where the rock lands. And when we are not behind our fortified fortress walls and all the barbed wire, electricity, concrete blocks, all the things, and actually have walls and barriers down, are in that choice of being vulnerable, we're like the calm water. And when something's coming at us that is actually not, it is something that's going to hurt, something that we want, we know, and we move out the way. But when we're in a constant state of fight, walls, resistance, things can be flying from every freaking direction. We can't even tell where they're coming from. We just get blasted. So it's actually the opposite of what it seems.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. And we can just tie ourselves up in such knots, you know, trying to fight and trying to defend and trying to keep those walls up. And I don't know about you, Marty, but I am at this stage of my life where I'm really done fighting.
So much. Yes.
I really desire to have way more peace and ease and fun.
And joy. Yes. And playfulness. Yeah. And adventure, all the things.
Yeah. Mm. So what else can we take about where people might be going? I'm kind of getting that some people still might be at the place of thinking, well, I don't want to cry.
Mm. Yeah. I know that one. I know that one a lot. So a couple of things I would say is, and first of all, well, the first thing is there's nothing you have to do, nothing. All of it's a choice. You get to, and there is not one right choice and one wrong choice. There's not a better choice or a lesser choice. What if you gave yourself permission to actually all the time choose for you and never make yourself right or wrong, just choose?
Mm-hmm.
would be the first thing. And the other thing with the crying part is, what if wherever we've decided crying is a weakness or a sign of, you know, being open to attack or not having it together, what if, especially when we've lived with these fortified walls and trying to self-preserve and fight and protect, what if when we start to make the choice to not do that anymore, our bodies cry? It's not drama, trauma, cry. It's not your weakness cry, but your body's like, oh, thank you. And I'm now going to release all these things that I've been holding because this is a horrible way for us to live. And, you know, I don't know if we often connect those choices to do the fight and the resistance and all of that, the effect that it has on our body and the constant state of stress and tension and anxiousness it puts in our bodies. And so what if you could reframe what tears are, and what if sometimes choosing to let things go, your body just, like, it's your body's way of sighing and letting it go with huge amounts of gratitude for you choosing something else.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I'm so grateful for this conversation. Wow. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, me too. And I was just going to say, too, and what if you gave yourself permission to, whenever the tears are there, just to let them be there and you didn't judge you? I mean, just what if you just made the choice to not judge you? And when you notice you are, go, oops, I'm going to choose something else now. What gratitude can I have for me right now? And that's probably one of the greatest ways when you notice that you're in judgment of yourself is to go, oh, I'm judging me. I'm so cute. I just fall back into doing that all the time. What's one thing I can be grateful for me right now? And if you're really having a hard time finding it, just ask, what's right about me that I'm not getting? And that question or the finding something you're grateful for about you can take you out of that judgment, boom, just like that. And then you're in a different space.
And I've done this, I've heard this, and I'm hearing maybe it's time to do it again. You actually write, you know, whether you handwrite or you put it on your computer or your phone or whatever, but you actually take the time to write down 10, 20, dare I say 100 things that you could acknowledge about you.
Yeah.
And so that question, what's right about me? So when you might have gone to a space of, I'm so this, I'm so that, what if you pulled out that list and you looked at all the things that you actually are grateful for? And one time I was actually, it was in my real estate office, and we were, a bunch of us were sitting in an office. It was some sort of team building exercise or so, I don't really quite remember, but they had everybody write down things that they saw in other people. And so everybody got, I don't know if there were 12 people in the room or something like that, and so everybody got 12 things from everybody else. And I actually saved those for quite a long time and left them in my office, had them taped up on the wall so that I could see because a lot of what people were saying about me, I could not see at all.
Yeah.
So what if you can't do it for yourself, what if you called a friend, called some friends and said, hey, could you tell me, you know, three things that you see in me that I might not be seeing in myself. So if you can't do it for yourself, there's another tip for you. And then put them on little post-it notes and put them places where you actually see and you can start to acknowledge and embrace the amazingness that you are and all of the gifts that you have, that nobody else has all of these same gifts and capacities and talents and amazingness that you be in this world.
That's an awesome idea.
Yes. And when you start to be that for yourself, which is something that most of us did not put much value on, so what if we do put, we have the courage to embrace that now and to actually value yourself and value everything about you?
How different would every single day be if that was the way we walked through our day with that? It'd be really, really different.
Yeah. Yes, it really would be. And I would love to, when we're going to hit it, we're coming up on our second break here in a moment. And when we come back, remind me, please, I would love to talk about children and all of this. So,
okay.
Stay tuned for more Vulnerability with Marty Barranco and Betsy McLaughlin.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm Betsy McLaughlin, and I'm here today with my special guest, Ms. Marty Barranco. And Marty, I would love for you to tell everybody how they could reach you.
Yes. So the best way is you can find me at go to accessconsciousness.com and click on facilitators, and then you can just put in my name, Marty Barranco, and that will take you to my website there, and you can send me a message. You can find upcoming classes that I have posted there, and that's the best way to find me.
Wonderful. And I know she is on Facebook as well. And then I have an invitation for you guys, if you would like to have a little more taste of Marty and myself together. We're actually going to be doing a two-part call on this subject, and who knows where else we will go, but there really are so many layers to this, and we can kind of just scratch the surface here today. But we wanted to invite you guys to a two-part call on vulnerability, the key to freedom. And our first call is going to be September 11th, and we will have it on Facebook and Imperfect Brilliance. And you guys can always email me as well at accessbetsy@gmail.com. And then, Marnie, what is your email address?
It's marniebarenko@accessconsciousness.com.
Easy peasy. So it's MarnieBarranco. @accessconsciousness.com. And if you have any problems finding her, just buzz me, find me on Facebook or email me or whatever. There's a lot of ways to find us. We're kind of all over the place.
We're everywhere.
We are. That call with you, Marnie. And I really wanted to talk a bit about vulnerability and children. And what gifts can we give to the children of the world? And I wonder, you know, you've got kids of all ages. I know a couple of them, and they're wonderful, wonderful beings. So how do you incorporate everything we're talking about in being a mother and what you guide them as, you know, being their own beings and being their own people? And how do you incorporate all of that into your world with them?
That is an awesome question, and I love the question. if I could start with, before talking about my own kids and the whole parenting aspect of it, kids mm-hmm. come into the world with that sense of, hi, I'm here, hello. And they're, you know, mm-hmm. not the walls and not the barriers, and it is like, see me, because I'm here. And then often what dynamically happens is they get judged, made wrong. They're told they're too much. They're too happy. They're too busy. They're too active. They can't sit still. They don't know what they're told. They don't. They should. They won't. They won't. And when you get that heaped on you from all different directions and all different sources, day after day after day, you either do, well, there's lots of things you can do, but two things people often do is either just shut down, shrink, diminish, get small, try to lock it all in, try to fit themselves in the box that they absolutely cannot fit in, but they try their best, or to do the opposite, which is to turn to the rebel who fights everything and must resist everything, and I'm going to go rogue because, but the bottom line of all of it is we try to impose so many things on our kids. Like, we have somewhere bought this crazy ass idea that the adults are the superior all-knowing ones, that the children are here for us to train, and therefore we must guide them effectively through all the things of life, and it makes me want to throw up when I say these things. So I would say, first of all, could we look at what a crazy idea that is, that somehow we have figured it out, that we as the adults and grown ones have the right answer, and that somehow we're supposed to impose that on our children. I mean, that creates so much yuck and so much children cutting themselves off and, you know, mm-hmm. hiding themselves under all kinds of layers. So what I would say the biggest, most important thing with your kids or any kids that you come in contact with, and Betsy, you said it, is let them be. Let them be. What if you could acknowledge their beings, not you did a good job, so I'm going to praise you. Oh, you screwed up over there, so now we must have a talk, or you're going to have some kind of punishment. What if we could actually acknowledge their very being, the gift of their very being, what they contribute to the world every single day just by being in it? What if we could acknowledge what they know, what they absolutely know, perceive, and what if we could be open and receive that? What contribution, like co-creation and co-contribution, would that be to the adults and to the kids? So that's mm-hmm. kind of the first thing that I would say, just let them be. And, you know, anytime you think, this is my favorite parenting tool of all time, and it's really a simple thing. It's a little phrase called interesting point of view. And mm-hmm. I know I have three children I've given birth to. And then I have three stepchildren. And so currently the youngest is 11, the oldest is let's see, 27. I can do the math. Yeah, 27. And so, and they're all in between. And I raised my kids very, very differently. I don't even say raised them. I co-created with my kids very differently than I was raised. And interesting point of view is a thing that I used over and over, is because, you know, the only thing you know is what you were taught. And so with my oldest born in particular, I would go, he would do something and I would go to do the thing that my parent would have said to me, but then I would somehow, it would feel off and I'd go, somehow that doesn't feel right, but I don't know anything else. And then I learned the tool, interesting point of view. So for example, you're sitting down at the dinner table, you know, I was raised, you finish everything on your plate because there's starving children in Africa, so you must eat. And so, you know, my kid is done, he doesn't want to eat, and I've got the tape rolling where you're supposed to eat your food. Then I go, oh, interesting point of view, I have that point of view. And when I use that tool for absolutely everything I think I'm supposed to be as a parent, everything I think my kids are supposed to be as a kid, what I find is pretty much none of those points of view are mine. They're things that other people have sold, and a lot of people bought them. And when I let that go, it just creates a space for me and my kids to not have to buy into anybody else's reality, anybody else's point of view, and to actually have fun together, you know? And the other thing, it's back, and I know I'm like blathering on this topic.
No,
you can interrupt me anytime. Okay. But I see you hit the button, the thing I absolutely love to talk about. But yeah, so and the other thing is, what if you as a parent took the pressure off of yourself and stopped trying to get it right? So much of the time, why we try to impose things on our kids, why we try to get them to be the way we think they're supposed to be, do the things they're supposed to do, is we're told there's sort of this underlying theme, point of view about parenting, that it's really important. This is one area you can't screw up. You better make sure your kids grow up and turn out to be happy, healthy, and productive members of society. And God forbid something, you've got a drug addict, or you got a kid who's suicidal, you got a kid who's mental illness, or you got a kid that this, that means you failed. What if none of that is true? And what if you took the pressure off of yourself, didn't make it this big, significant, scary thing, and were willing for everyone else to judge you as wrong, and you still do what you know, you still ask questions, and you go with your gut and your knowing, and you include your children and their knowing, and you create it together? What if something so very different than we normally see is available? And so tying that into vulnerability, if you have the space where you as the parent don't make you wrong, nor do you make your children wrong, if you have the space where you as the parent give yourself permission to create your life and choose for you, and you give your kids permission to create their life and choose for them, and if there was no conclusions, decisions, points of view of how parents were supposed to be and kids were supposed to be, that is an environment that invites vulnerability, because there's no proving, there's no trying to get it right, there's no judgment for screwing it up. It's a space where things can grow and thrive, and it's actually totally easy to be vulnerable and connecting and engaging with one another.
Yes. Well, and you just said a word that was popping in for me as well, that connection piece. And when I got rid of my ideas of what I thought being a mother was, I actually, you know, would have conversations with my son and be vulnerable and tell him, hey, you know, I'm not perfect. I've screwed up here. I could have, you know, like, I'm so sorry. And or whatever was going on, or, hey, I'm having a really bad day, you know, like, excuse me, and actually being willing to not be perfect, not think that I had to be all right all 24 hours a day, and I had to be this role model, and I had to do all these things, and I actually was real with him. It changed everything for me and with my relationship with him, and it made it so much easier and so much more fun. And then he, in turn, his walls came down, and he started talking to me about things, which is what I truly desired, to have that connection My son is an amazing person, and I'm so grateful to be in his life and to have that friendship with him that I have, besides being the mother and the son thing, where he's an amazing person, and I know him as a person. And it's such an amazing gift that, to me, I'm so, so grateful that I, you know, had in this lifetime that I am his mother, and he, you know, he chose me and I chose him, and what we created together, his life, my life, our family, and everything, and that we're still creating, and of course it's always changing, always evolving, where I really don't have expectations, I don't have demands, and he hasn't called me in a while, he should be doing this, blah, blah, blah. It's like the same thing. Interesting point of view. I have that point of view. And then, Hey, you could just as easily call him, or you could text him, or what are you aware of here? And in all of that, I get rid of whatever that is, and then I'm just connect with him again. And so that connection piece that we all really crave in our lives, what if it's way easier than we've ever realized? And for me, one of the keys is absolutely that vulnerability and that willingness to be without the walls, without the airs, without the should-haves, coulda, would-haves.
Yeah. It's beautiful. That's beautiful. And what you did was you were how you wanted it to be. You chose the vulnerability. You chose you chose how you wanted to show up in the relationship without the expectation that he should do the same, or without the expectation that he should do anything. And that's a really key thing, is when we be it, you know, you've heard the be the change you wish to see in the world. Well, even in your relationships with kids or anyone, you be how you would like it to be, and lose the expectation that anyone else should think the same or choose the same or do the same, including your kids. And it creates the space for them to actually change.
Yes. It really is. It's an open invitation for more.
Yes. 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 Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go. No, you go. You go.
No, you go. Now I'm going to forget what I was going to say. And then here we go. Willing to be vulnerable and say, I totally forgot, just by, you know, playing with you on that. And so we were just, and I really don't remember. Do you remember what you were going to say?
I was going to say, probably not. No, we got playing tag team and then we lost it. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So what steps could you take today to create more intimate relationships with yourself, with your loved ones, with people you work with really everyone that you interact with on a daily basis? So what if we've talked about lowering your walls when you feel them coming up, just lower them back down, ask the questions, what's right about me I'm not getting, or what's right about this I'm not getting, and write down, I wonder, Marnie, how many people would be willing to write down about themselves, their gifts, their capacities, their talents.
Yeah. I liked when you said 100, because I get with the 100, you might be able to come up with 10, like, that. You start hitting 11, 12, 15, 20, you're going to have to dig. So how deep would you be willing to dig to find those things? Because there's an infinite amount of them. So 100 actually might seem huge, but is it?
Yes. Well, and I love that question, because really there is an infinite amount. So everywhere you think that there's a finite amount to your gifts and your talents and your capacities and your amazingness, What if you actually were vulnerable with yourself and did this exercise? And I'm challenging myself to do it too, Marnie, and
Me
see
too.
What actually comes up.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm.
I like it.
Wow.
And what you said, so when you choose to do something and stuff comes up, then there you go. That's the perfect place to choose to be vulnerable with yourself and not to jump into judgment of you or to jump into defending you or making up the reasons why, just to be with, huh, interesting. Right now, this is what's up in my world. And what if I was just present with it, looked at it, said, hi, I see you. And, huh, what would it take to change this? Wonder mm-hmm. what else is possible here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. So we have just a couple minutes left. Do you have any parting words of wisdom that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I would first just say thank you for, whether you're live or listening, being here. And Betsy, thank you. It's been really a joy to have this conversation with you. And I guess what I would say is, even though we covered a lot of things, we really have just scratched the surface of this topic and this conversation. And what else do we know and what else can we choose about vulnerability? And I guess that's really the thing. What do you actually know about it that you've maybe not allowed yourself to know because you've got everyone else's point of view? And would you let yourself know it now?
Thank you, Marnie. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We are so grateful for you. Have a wonderful week. Bye.